Hello, and welcome to Fireborn Inspirations Fireside Chats, hosted by the Reverend Jane Babbage, where we share valuable information, revelation, inspiration, and educational words of wisdom designed to help you get a greater understanding of today's challenges and opportunities so that you can choose to embrace the realities of tomorrow and press through the fires of life with purpose. Now here's your host, the Reverend Jane Babbage.
Greetings and welcome to Fireside Chat. This is Jane Babbage, your host for today. We are here again with Dr. Audrey Akins. Thank you, Dr. Akins, for coming today.
It's my pleasure.
We are going to continue in our discussion about a topic that I didn't want to talk about the first time, but I see that it's an important topic, and it's called Deny. Part
yes.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently listened to the teaching that you did in Part Two, and I really found it so fascinating that in the teaching you talk about the fact that in coming out of 2 Samuel about David, mm-hmm. that it was 20 years after him living a life of dedication to the Lord and denying himself and choosing that as a lifestyle, mm-hmm. that he then finds himself in this situation that he does what you call still tarrying.
Tarried still.
And when I heard you teach about it, and I said, okay, wait a minute. The way you explained it was like David, for a minute, said, I've worked for you for 20 years, Lord, and I denied myself, and I feel like I deserve a break.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the teaching, you talk about how all the other kings went off to war where mm-hmm. they were called to be, but David chose
mm-hmm. to tarry still.
Yeah.
Instead of going to war.
Exactly.
Right.
And it made me think
about... Or leading his people to war.
Right. It made me think about how we as people are trained kind of like on a reward system.
Mm-hmm.
I work for 10 years for this company, so I get 4 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
Or I work 20 years, and I get 6 weeks off.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a mentality we have, but we can't afford to have that in the spirit. That's
no.
the message I got from
yeah.
you. So could you...
Because that's a vocation or a profession. But with us, in being believers, when we move into that area of spirituality that David did, in presenting himself that sacrifice to God to be his king, the difference between him and Saul, when we do that, we take on a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You don't get a vacation from it. You can't take a spiritual time out from walking upright before God. You got to walk upright before him all the time. I remember there was some years ago, somebody said, do you have to be spiritual minded all the time? Can't we just have some fun? Yeah, I can have fun, but I can do it spiritual-mindedly.
And I think that's a learned lifestyle
mm-hmm.
as we get in that intimate relationship with the Lord. And one of the things you also said was that as David grew in his willingness to deny himself
mm-hmm.
in those years, he became closer to God.
Right.
And it was that relationship. And I think that we as believers today aren't always taught, as you did in this teaching, that we need to continue to press in and have that relationship through denying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came to me was, I can remember when I was first learning to be an armor bearer, that I was committed. I wanted to be there with that person when they were ministering. But then I had an opportunity to go on vacation, and they were supposed to minister that weekend. And I was torn. Okay, do I go on this vacation that had, it wasn't purposed, it wasn't something that God designed for me to do. It was something I wanted
mm-hmm.
to do, and I felt it had been a long time since I'd gone on vacation. But I made the decision, no, I don't want to do that because I can go on vacation anytime. I don't always get the opportunity to do what I feel God was calling me to do.
Let me stop you right there. The thing to have done at that particular time would have been to inquire of the Lord.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
David's problem was when he decided to tarry still, he didn't inquire of the Lord. You know, he didn't say, God, is it okay if, you know, my soldiers go ahead on to war? Because I'm worn out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm battled out. Because David had been at the head of every battle since he had, the 7 years that he had been now king. At this point, at 2 Samuel, the 11th and the 12th chapter, he had been king over all of Israel for 7 years. And in that time, he had waged battle after battle after battle after battle. But when it was time for the kings to go to war again, this time he decided on his own. He didn't acknowledge God.
Exactly.
And that was the problem.
Exactly. And I think that in my life at that point, I was so young as a understanding things, mm-hmm. I didn't even know that it was that okay to go mm-hmm. to God and say, hey, mm-hmm. which should I do? Mm-hmm. I just said, I don't want to take the chance on missing that. Mm-hmm. So I went. But what was interesting is when I went, mm-hmm. that is when, in that particular setting, is where I met somebody that then led to a future opportunity that was a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I often thought, what if I would have gone ahead
been in the wrong and gone, place
exactly,
at the wrong time.
Which is what yeah. you said about David.
Yeah.
Is that he was in the wrong place, and that's how he became vulnerable to seeing okay. Bathsheba.
So you need to understand something, because as we learn God, until you learn that you can go and inquire of God and he will hear you and require of him to order your steps or to let you know what's right, you know, God speaks to us in whichever way we can receive him.
Amen.
And even though you didn't literally go before God and pray and say, God, should I go on vacation or not? Your heart was right towards God.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart was after God. And so therefore, he gave you the desires of your heart by putting that desire there. You know what? Rather than go on this vacation, I think I need to go. You didn't hear an audible voice.
Right.
You know, and not everybody does.
Right.
You know, but the thing is that you were led, because in your life experience, your heart being after God's, it puts you in line for him to nudge you. It was like with Paul when he was still Saul,
mm-hmm.
and he was on the road to Damascus getting ready to go and against the Christians, and the Lord knocked him off his high horse, right?
Yes.
And said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, right? So what's that mean? All the time that Saul was an antagonist to the people of the Lord, yet the Lord was still guiding him, still using him, still bringing him closer to that time when he would bring him in off the road to Damascus. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. And I think that even in this story mm-hmm. that you teach, and I call it a story because whenever you take a character, and you use the word case study mm-hmm. in your teaching,
mm-hmm.
and I can remember when I first heard that term from you in mm-hmm. a previous teaching, I was like, I want to know what that means. What does it mean, a case study? And when I did the research and I found out that the reason they call them case studies is because you pick somebody that has such a breadth mm-hmm. of what you could talk about,
yes.
such a breadth of what they've experienced. But the reason it's called a case study is if you take that individual and look at that particular case, that particular
right.
incident, that particular
from
subject.
From that perspective.
Right, from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
it always ties back to it's the
always.
Heart of that individual.
Yes.
And they said it was like they used the example of Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been many people that have talked about his life from many different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read enough about him, you find that it all comes back to the fact that he's a giver.
Mm-hmm.
He's a giver of knowledge. He's mm-hmm. a giver of help. He's
and that's
a giver
what God
of
made him to be.
Exactly, because that's the heart of who he
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
This teaching that you do on David and the fact that it's a case study is because no matter how you teach about David,
that's right.
it always comes back to what was his heart.
That's
his
right.
heart was a heart after God.
And what were the keys that he used?
Exactly, exactly.
In that life.
Exactly. And this teaching, I love that because even though when he stepped out of his space
mm-hmm.
and where he was supposed to be, and he fell into horrific sin,
yes.
lost a son that he loved,
mm-hmm. committed murder,
committed
schemed, complicit in scheming,
and all of that, that's
exactly.
what the Lord showed me was cascading darkness.
Yes.
It's like he found himself with a dead son.
Yes.
Knowing what he had done then.
And now everybody knows about his
exactly,
adultery.
Exactly, everything.
Because he didn't hide the fact that he was mourning for this child.
Yes. Absolutely. And they know how the child came about.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that you never, when you love God, you never are put in a situation where darkness can truly overtake you.
Right.
There is always an opportunity to turn, just as David did when he realized that all of the sin he had committed
mm-hmm.
had culminated to that point.
Mm-hmm.
He did as you said.
And his foolish denying didn't work with
it
God.
It didn't.
And God didn't even...
Exactly.
God despised it.
And there's a lot of times we think doing good for somebody
mm-hmm.
else will make up for the bad we
mm-hmm.
did. God
mm-hmm.
doesn't do that. And you show so well in that teaching. And that's why I encourage people, listen to the teaching from the point of view of your own life.
Right.
Because we've all messed up. We've all found ourselves at one time or another in our life to where we are at that breaking point of saying, okay, God, all I did wrong isn't made up for all that I do right.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be right with you.
I need God. The word says a broken spirit and a contrite heart, those things God will not despise.
Exactly. And why we don't understand that, even when we may have been through it many times,
mm-hmm.
we always try to find a different way. Just like David
mm-hmm.
thought that if he cried and
mm-hmm.
if he moaned and
dirt.
All of that and made a scene that everybody
mm-hmm.
saw, that it would move God. And one of the things about your teaching, being a revelatory teacher, is you use this term a lot. Our tears don't move God.
That's right.
Because it's our heart towards God that he does in our step of faith.
And his word.
Yes.
And his word.
It was a step of faith for David,
mm-hmm.
even in the place that he was in, to say, okay, I'm going to go wash myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change my clothes. It's mm-hmm. kind of like
anoint
you turn
myself.
The page.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn the page.
And take those proper steps.
Yes.
You use those keys of David. Get up out of the dirt.
Yep.
And clean yourself up.
Yep.
Then change your outer appearance. You know, change your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everything back then, what you wore determined who you were or what you did.
Right.
So change your clothes. Change that thing about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then anoint yourself.
Mm-hmm. Let's
the
talk about that for a minute.
The word said he anointed himself everywhere.
Why was it important for him to anoint himself?
Because he was rededicated. He was preparing himself to be presented to God. So in order to do that, he was now anointing himself to offer himself. To present yourself a living sacrifice means to offer.
Okay.
All right. So in order for it to be offered, it has to be holy and acceptable unto God. So therefore, you want to anoint yourself. And so even though he washed himself, even though he changed his outer appearance, his then anointing himself prepared himself. It was going back. The spiritual time out he took was now over.
Okay.
And he was rededicating himself.
Yes, yes.
He was purging himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was sanctifying himself. You know, in the word where it tells us that, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
right? A holy and acceptable unto God, which is only what? Your reasonable service. That's what it's talking about. You know, concentrating ourselves unto God,
mm-hmm.
you know, turning away from those things that you know separate you from him and purging yourself or cleansing yourself
mm-hmm.
or offering yourself. Same thing in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, that the Lord knows them that are his. Now, those that name of Christ, we're all supposed to depart from sin. But we also need to realize in a house, and especially in God's house, he has many vessels. You know, some are gold, some are silver, some are wooden, you know, some are earthen, all having different purposes. And some are to honor and some are to dishonor. But we can change that estate. That's what I love about God. I don't have to stay a vessel of dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to stay wallowing in my sin. I don't have to stay messed up. I might open the door to those things, but they have no authority. They have no right to stay when there's light in me. So when I open myself up and purge myself of any unrighteousness, then God's word says in 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21, then shall I be, when I purge myself. He said, I'm not doing it for you. That's God wasn't doing that for David.
Right.
That's what David wanted God to do, fix it. No, God's not fixing it. He said, you purge yourself. And when you purge yourself, he shall be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no waiting period. He shall be a vessel unto honor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And equipped and made fit for the master's use for every good work. And that's what happened to David back then. When David went in and he began to worship and present himself an offering before God, a living sacrifice, immediately it was done. It was over. And he went, the word says that he then left, went back to his house, ate, and then he went in unto Bathsheba, his wife. Now the Lord calls her his wife. Up until then, the Lord said that she was Uriah's wife. He was already a vessel unto honor. He hadn't done anything, you know, great and spectacular except deny himself. That's the master key. When we want to find our way back out of the hells that sometimes we put ourselves in, it is to take all that stuff, get away from all that stuff, cleanse yourself of that stuff, separate yourself. You got to be the one to do it. Don't wait there and say, God, you got to take this from me. You need to get up and get that dirt off you.
I think it's so important as we close to make sure that everybody understands that in the world, people treat each other in the way that if you've hurt me really bad, then you need to do something to compensate because mm-hmm. I'm just not going to forget and let you go on your
mm-hmm.
way. We are so blessed that we don't have to do that with God.
That's right.
All that David did, and no matter what we do,
mm-hmm.
we maybe didn't cheat, we maybe didn't kill somebody, but we all fall short.
Mm-hmm.
But the enemy makes us believe that we can never come back.
That's it.
I can remember a time in my life that things happened and I did things and I said, how can I go back to God?
Mm-hmm.
How can that happen?
He won't have me.
Yeah,
not worthy.
And that's what you hear from the, mm-hmm. the voices that speak to you. But the awesome thing that we learn from the many principles that David shows us in this 2 Samuel is that it didn't matter what he did at that moment because he turned away from it. He turned towards God, recommitted himself.
He truly turned.
Exactly. And committed himself back to God. And as you say, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He was restored.
And the only reason that is because God knows the heart. He sees the
exactly.
heart. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of people that think I can just go in there and say, sorry, God, and it's okay, and God accepts that. No.
Or we can't judge other people. I can remember being in church, and there was this mighty move of God,
mm-hmm.
and this young girl comes down to the altar, and she has short shorts on
mm-hmm.
and a halter top, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with mm-hmm. them, but they were pretty skimpy for being in church.
Mm-hmm.
And she went down, and everybody in that row was like, what is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
But I am telling you, I witnessed firsthand God took and changed her life mm-hmm. around instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
She truly walked away from that altar a different woman.
Yeah.
And you could see it. When she turned around and started walking mm-hmm. back, all the critical mouths were hanging open because mm-hmm. it was so tangible
mm-hmm.
that it was, you could not deny that God heard her heart because she went to him humble,
mm-hmm.
denying herself and repenting.
But that
is so important.
But his word says, we look at the outward appearance.
That's right.
God says, I'm checking out the heart
mm-hmm.
because I know the heart. No man knows the heart but me. So we can't judge anybody, whether it be David, whether it be your next door neighbor, or whether it even be your own self.
Yes.
Sometimes our own heart can condemn us.
Right.
And make us feel like we didn't sacrifice enough, we didn't give up enough, we didn't repent enough. And yet God has said, but I'm greater than your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If I said, okay, no problem, let's go. Let's get this on the road. Then I need to get up and go and believe God, because whatever God says, he's going to do it.
Well, I am so grateful that you've come today and helped to, again, expound on this principle of deny, deny, deny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we'll continue to hear about it.
I'm
now
sure.
getting more comfortable with the term. You know, it doesn't make me want to back away anymore, because I love the fact that as we understand, as God's people, that denying ourselves is also a privilege
mm-hmm.
to be able to come to God and say, I truly messed up and I'm sorry and I repent. And
Jesus told us, he taught us, he said, if any man would follow me, you got to first be willing to deny yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Only then can you take up your cross and follow after me. And that follow after means and emulate me, be like me. Set yourself to follow after my own heart. That's the same thing that God was saying that he was looking for back in David's time.
Mm-hmm.
A man after his own heart. A man willing to deny himself, take up his cross, that whatever that is that God has ordered for you in your ordered steps, if it's to go from the sheepfold to being king, whatever it is, you know, we all have our own salvation that we've got to work out. But the thing is, if God called you and he brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And he also knows that there are many adversaries out there. There's all kinds of things to trip us up, all kinds of things to make us feel unworthy. Yet and still, God says it doesn't matter, because even if you're faithful, faithless, God says he is faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Dr. Akins, for coming today. We appreciate you coming and sharing the revelatory word with us. And beloved, I just ask that as you listen to these fireside chats, you understand that they are produced for you. They are so that you can grow and know God in a way that maybe you don't know him today. And if you are in that situation where you feel that you can't return to God, we invite you today to do as David did. Deny yourself. Turn away from that which has pulled you away from him and return, because he waits for you. And we thank you, Lord, that those that hear this and that are drawn to you, Lord, that you will embrace them and bring them back and fool them with your purpose once again. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And be blessed.
Well, this concludes today's edition of Fireside Chats. For more information or to contact us, log on to www.fireborninspirations.com. Or follow us at Fireborn Inspirations on Instagram. Until next time, be encouraged and inspired to keep pressing your way through the fires of life with a greater understanding and with purpose. This segment has been produced by Creative Impact LLC with all rights reserved.